Reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 16 to 19. When I, Paul, preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach it voluntarily, I have a reward. But if not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust and burden committed to me. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. For the sake of the gospel, the Venerable Bede in his Ecclesiastical History of the English People tells the story of the first Christian martyr in Britain. The man was British himself, but a Roman soldier, and his name is Alban. He was a pagan, but once when his governor instituted a persecution of Christians, a Christian priest came fleeing to take refuge in his house, and out of kindness to the man, he hid him, and in the several days that the priest was with him, Alban noticed his Christian piety, his forbearance, his courage, his humility and love and forgiveness to the enemy, for instance. And in dialogue and then later on instruction through this whole experience, he himself became a Christian. The governor, however, soon found out that Alban was hiding in Christian faith, and he sent a detachment of soldiers to put him out. Alban discovered this himself, knowing this was about to happen. He put on the cloak of the priest and took his place, pretending to be touched with the soldiers, "I'm the man you want." And so they took him, arresting him to the governor. The governor, however, was not deceived by this, and he said to Alban, "Since you have taken the place of the priest, you will now die for him in his place, unless you forswear your Christian faith that you say you have so recently come upon, and worship the gods of your people." Alban, of course, refused. Even under torture, he refused, and then finally he was executed for the sake of the gospel. I am certain all of us, whether it's by illustration or by direct contact with the word itself, so often pray, "Oh Lord, may my life be so dedicated to you that this phrase becomes typical of my Christian character for the sake of the gospel." Certainly it was Paul. Text is one word amongst many that one could use to describe how Paul felt of his obligation, his ministry, his vocation. We know that he lost everything because of it. He gave up all things because of it. He left home because of it. He left family. He left people. He left tradition. He denied his own culture, his own background, that which he had most fear at one time. In addition to all of the persecution and suffering that he underwent for the sake of the gospel. But you know, see it all, he didn't count any of this as loss. Rather, he rejoiced in it. It was a privilege to give up all things because of the sources he had found. And also, he recognized in the gospel not only a way of salvation that he first discovered on the road to Damascus, but also he knew the Lord placed an obligation upon him because the Lord had saved his life. He had to proclaim that message, whether it was convenient or not. Whether it cost him or it rewarded him, he had to proclaim that word, and he could never give up that obligation that the Lord placed upon him. And the only reward that he required was that he could have opportunities to fulfill this mission, and that he never faced any impediment before others, so that they could receive freely this wonderful gospel, whether they thanked him or not for it, whether they paid him or not for it, whether they rewarded him or not for it. He had to proclaim that word. Brothers and sisters at this seminary, we certainly must have this same sense of vocation. We're not here for the fun of it. We're not here to learn how to make a living. I'm not here because I chose it. Neither are you. Yes, we agree with that choice. We are here because of the Lord's choice. And we certainly desire to grow in our vocation and in our sense of obligation to, if you will, learn to look upon our lives as a debt to all, so that we might win at least some. And so for the sake of the gospel, also becomes and prays that which characterizes us. But it isn't easy, is it? So many things come upon us. Take our attention away from our vocation. Our sins keep tripping us up. Our failings bother us. Our conscience afflicts us. He plagues us with the awareness of God's judgment over our sins and failings. And how often we heard this week in chapel how the cares and the concerns of life, the love of money, the love of earthly pleasure, the love of ease, all these things get in our way, don't they? And we seem to be sucking our strength even here to seminary. So that oftentimes it's hard to put to see in others. But let me tell you, brother, if you begin to see in others, you've got to see first in yourself. Especially, it's so easy to see in ourselves then our vocation slipping, our dedication to it. Now, it's really not because of our sins per se, or the cares, or the earthly obligations we have to fulfill, or the need of money and food and clothing that really stop our dedication. Rather, it is concerns and worries, as we heard about this week already, about these things. Because sins will still afflict us. Failings will still be a part of our lives because of the old Adam. And we're still going to have concerns about money, food, and clothing, and the like. But when worries and fears about these things begin to control our thoughts, our ambitions, that can not only begin to stop our sanctification, it can in the end destroy us. Not to speak of the fact that it can destroy our faith and rob us of life, so that we never again will see Jesus Christ. To avoid this happening, the Lord Jesus Christ invites us each and every day to repent and in repentance to turn to Him. So that the ways and fears of the sin, or concerns, or lusts, or desires of this life do not be our will. He wants us to turn to Him each day in repentance, so that instead His forgiveness can control our thoughts and not fear God's judgment. That His promises to us, that He has taught to us, feed and clothe us, that confidence in that promise will control our thoughts. And not worry about where we're going to live and how we're going to live in the life. And that His promise to be with us in His strength, to help us to meet all obligations that He gives to us, whether it is preparation for a test, or whether it means to lay our life down on the line to pack up our faith. And not worry, can I do it? Because He promises, as you look to me, I'll give you strength to do it. These blessings He wants us to have in our hearts, to control our thoughts, so that our vocation can become all the more stronger and more beautiful to us, and something for which we will give up everything, even life. And we know that this is true, that the Lord wants His blessings to control us, and not our failings, and not our ways, because He gave up His life on the cross. Look what He gave up for you and me, everything, didn't He? And by His death on the cross, His life leading to that, His example, yes, but the power of that. What He did at the cross for you and me, so that we can be set free from all that would destroy. And now, every single time that we come to Him in word and sacrament, every moment that we come to Him in His word and our daily living, and as we gather together, He touches us with these blessings. And when He touches us with a sense of His forgiveness, they begin to disappear fear of God's judgment. When He touches us with His promise, look, I have been with you, I will be with you. Then they begin to disappear all thoughts of worry about money, clothing. Why, as this peace begins to control us and take over our life each day as we would have it to be, there is born in our heart, against our flesh, against our ways, in face of our ways, in face of our fears, in joy and confidence and purpose that would move us to do anything for this wonderful Lord in thanksgiving. And there also begins to grow in us a sense of vocation that will lead us to live for the sake of the gospel. We give up our things. We will leave our home, never knowing whether we're ever going to see our parents again. And when we get older, we will give up our children, never knowing whether we'll ever see them again. And whether we get paid or not, we're still going to live for the gospel, and we're still going to proclaim to the very people who refuse our rights. And we won't demand our rights. We may at times tell them in love, "You owe me, brother, for the sake of the gospel." But if you don't realize that, I'm still going to perform my obligation to you, because my Lord will take care of me, and I still love you, and so does the wonderful Lord Jesus. There begins to grow in our heart a sense of vocation in the gospel, not only the essence to us by which we live, by which we can only live. There also begins to grow a terribly deep, awesome sense of obligation and vocation. I've got to proclaim the gospel. I have no other life. So when you get tired, when you begin to think things again against you, as I do so often in my life, and the older you become, the more you think that way. It's not only when you're young. We deny that. And we look again to Jesus, realizing the person he's placed upon us. And we don't have anything of offering. We only see the joy. And the only reward we wish to have now is opportunity. To serve the gospel so that we can at least win some. Brothers, you're going to live for the sake of the gospel whether you like it or not. I pray that you like it more than you don't like it. But God has placed upon you a vocation, and you can't ever give it up. And you're going to die for the sake of that gospel, because it's the only joy we have in strength and salvation. For the sake of the gospel, amen.